Good morning, Connecticut, and to our friends across the Sound, it's Director of Public Affairs, John Voquette. Thanks for tuning in to Connoisseur Media's award-winning public affairs program for the people, bringing you the latest information to help address concerns in our communities tied to youth, the economy, public health and safety, aging, education, and the environment. Hey, if you like golf or tennis or both, or maybe you know a young person or adult with a disability trying to become more independent, well, we're going to invite you to learn more about Ability Beyond, a nonprofit organization providing support for adults with disabilities across the state with groundbreaking programs in supported living and recreational and educational enrichment, empowering individuals to live a full and rewarding life. And we're going to invite you to Ability Beyond's benefit golf and tennis tournament that's happening tomorrow in Danbury. Then we're going to hear from one of the founders of the Connecticut DCF Dads Matter 2 Community Day. It's coming up Saturday, September 28th at Waterbury's Police Activity League facility. Whether you're a dad, a foster dad, a granddad, or just a gentleman who's making a difference in a child's life, we want you to come out and meet community providers, get a free haircut, smack a few in their home run derby, and show your family pride in the Father's Mile Walk. It's about educating, informing, and empowering fathers and father figures while strengthening and increasing their roles in the lives of children. And finally, we're going to get the lowdown on this year's UConn Native Plants and Pollinators Conference that's coming up October 3rd at the UConn campus in Storrs. We'll tell you about planned presentations featuring current science-based research and information on supporting pollinators in managed land. You'll want to stay tuned if you're a grower or other green industry professional, landscape service provider, landscape architect, municipal worker, or just a homeowner who cares about their own property. We'll be back with these segments and more on the award-winning For the People with me, John Voquette, right after this reminder. Hey, if you're on the hunt for a treasure this fall and not sure where to begin, the Lockwood Matthews Mansion in Norwalk's Matthews Park is making your quest much easier. It's happening later today. Yes, Sunday, September 15th from 10 to 4, the Lockwood Matthews Mansion Museum is holding their 12th annual old-fashioned flea market featuring antiques, crafts, special edibles, and other treasures. And if you've never seen the museum, it's a good time to check it out on one of their $5 mini tours between 10 and 4. The Lockwood Matthews Mansion Museum is a national historic landmark, and if you can't come out today, learn more about all their other events and programs available by visiting lockwoodmatthewsmansion.com. All right. Well, we're going to kick off the program with an agency that is near and dear to our hearts here at the award-winning For the People. We try to feature them at least a couple of times a year because they do so much good work and involve individuals throughout so much of our listening area. I'm talking about Ability Beyond. They're based in Connecticut in Bethel near the Danbury line, and they're a nonprofit organization that provides support for adults with disabilities across Connecticut. Carrie O'Connell is with us again. She's the Director of Programs and Services at Ability Beyond. She's also been a guest on our show before. We had an opportunity to visit with her and some great folks who are part of an employment program with Ability Beyond. But today she's going to tell us about some new and innovative programs and a new service they're offering, as well as details about a golf tournament and tennis tournament that is actually going to be happening as we broadcast this program tomorrow on Monday. Look at the calendar, the 16th of September. So if you are a golf or tennis fan or both, you might want to play hooky or call in sick tomorrow and go out and support Ability Beyond. We're going to tell you all about that in just a little while. But for starters, Carrie, beyond that humble introduction, can you please tell folks a little bit more about the great history and tradition of service and programs at Ability Beyond?
Sure. First of all, thank you for having us. We always appreciate the ability to be able to talk about who we are and what we do, because we all kind of love and enjoy the work that we're able to provide to the community and the people that we serve. Ability Beyond has been around for 65-plus years. It was started by a group of parents who really just wanted to create a better life for their children with disabilities. Today, it has become one of the most comprehensive systems of community-based support for people with disabilities in the Northeast. We serve roughly more than 3,000 adults each year. We provide different types of programs like supported living, recreation, and educational enrichment programs. We empower individuals to live full, rewarding lives as independent as they possibly can in their communities. As you mentioned, through opportunities like Tier 1, we offer job training and employment opportunities. We have a national consulting arm of Ability Beyond called Disability Solutions, where we do consulting practice in a career center throughout the country. So we've really become a vast organization that started in a very humble, awesome way and has grown throughout the years.
Well, as we talk to organizations or representatives of organizations like Ability Beyond and others throughout Connecticut that serve this population, it's always important to remind people who are not kind of part of this world or have a family member who takes advantage of an organization and the programs that Ability Beyond offers, that when young people reach the age of 21, they're no longer eligible for certain state services that accrue to them as kind of, you know, throughout their school years. And that's why a program, the programs like Ability Beyond provides is so important, right?
That's absolutely correct. So once a young adult with a disability kind of, it's quote unquote, ages out of special education services through their school district, then what? Sometimes a lot of people kind of hit what's referred to as a cliff of what's going to happen once they're 21, receiving great services through a school district, what happens after that? And that's pretty much when Ability Beyond kind of kicks in. We're there to help people, like I said, with all different sorts and parts of their life, whether it is finding a home or whether it is finding a job or going to a place where they can meet friends, socialize, volunteer, do recreation activities. So we just try to address all of the needs that an adult with a disability might need assistance with.
And as you are doing this year and have been improving on every year in the two-decade-plus relationship that you've had with our program, the continuing focus on increasing individual independence with those that you serve is a critical kind of turning point with the organization, and you are able to foster independence even when individuals are getting some modicum of supportive care from others with a raft of incredible programs. Let's talk about a few of these important programs that Ability Beyond offers.
So I really do think that all of the programs that we offer are equally important depending on what the person is coming to us for, what their needs are, what their interests are, what their goals for their future are. But I think over the recent years, we've been doing a lot around transition and making sure that people don't hit that cliff I referred to. That when people are turning around 18 years old, they're starting to understand, just like if they're going off to college, that there's agencies like Ability Beyond in their backyard that are there for them. Come to meet us, come to see what we do, come to learn more about what we can do to help your son or daughter with a disability. So we've done a lot of focusing around how to streamline those transition services. And most recently, we started a transition resource center, which you can access on our website, www.abilitybeyond.org. And then you just click on transition resource center. It's kind of like a one-stop shop for families, for parents to know what resources are out there. What are the things I should be doing to plan for my young adult as they are slowly starting to age out of high school and enter the adult world? It has, I think, about 8 informative videos. They cover all key areas of transition, everything that you might need to know, including housing or what's this all about finances and benefits planning I have to do. Talk about college. Is college an opportunity? Let's not shut the door to that. What are some of the state agencies that could help with that? Employment, someone looking for a day program. So it goes through all of those at your own pace. You can watch those videos and hopefully teaches the parent a lot that they need to know to make this transition smoother, not only for their son or daughter, but for them.
Yeah, and we were excited to be able to actually come to Bethel to your offices shortly after these videos were completed and sit with a couple of your staffers and look at a few of them. And really, this should be a bookmarked page for any parent of a child who has any kind of disability, who is on the spectrum, any kind of special needs, no matter what their age is, because the resources that are offered in these videos, and they're so easy to watch and so informative that they really should be posted and shared and looked at often. There are also day programs and activities that Ability Beyond offers that are very, very popular, and mm-hmm. and really kind of you know, their titles and brief descriptions don't really do them justice, because they really kind of unite a broad spectrum of points for these individuals, from recreational to social. Tell us some more about the day programs.
Sure. So we do have an employment focus, I should say. So mm-hmm. everybody that comes to our organization, we do believe that we should have some sort of employment goal. But a lot of people straight out of high school or due to their medical or physical needs might not be ready for employment day one, or might never be able to work full time in the community. But mm-hmm. we want them to be striving towards that. As an alternate way to provide services, we also offer day programs. And as I spoke of, some transition services. Yeah. And the day programs, we're doing a ton of social, recreational, and volunteer opportunities throughout the greater Danbury community and in all different types of industries. In our transition services, we're doing all sorts of training programs within different types of great employers that we have made connections with, who allow us the opportunity to come in, establish an internship rotation, give some people the ability to try out a different type of job for a time-limited experience, and understand if that's an industry that someday they potentially might want to work in. In the day programs, we do lots of great, fun activities, but they all have a goal around something that the person is hoping to learn, a skill they're hoping to gain, and again, a way to help them eventually become more independent in some way in their life.
Excellent. Well, folks, as we told you at the top of the show, tomorrow is a big day for Ability Beyond, and that's because they have their golf championship and round robin tennis tournament, and they still have some openings available if you are listening and you're a golf or tennis fan or both. So Carrie O'Connell is with us. She's the Director of Programs and Services at Ability Beyond. We've got her for about another 3 or 4 minutes, so let's invite everyone within the sound of our voices, Carrie, to this event. Tell us all about it.
Great. Yes. So as you mentioned, we have our great golf tournament tomorrow. It's one of our largest fundraisers. We typically attract over 100 golfers. Yes, if you're still interested in playing, we would love to have you play. You can, again, can go to our website, abilitybeyond.org, for more information. Last year was the first time we added a tennis tournament into the day, which has provided some great variety and a lot of fun for people. As mentioned, it's tomorrow, Monday, September 16th. It starts at 10:30, and we go till about 7, because it's if you're a golfer, you know it's a full day. Mm-hmm. So we start you off with a barbecue lunch. There's tons of different fun contests, awards for closest to the pin, longest drive. There's awards for the top 3 teams. And this year we have multiple chances to win a new car with a hole-in-one, which is so exciting and great. We have a silent auction at night, dinner at night, and obviously I should say that this is at Ridgewood Country Club in Danbury, and the golf tournament will be kind of like a shamble format, and the tennis component is more round robin. It encourages participation from all levels of golfers and tennis players. Mm-hmm. And I really would like to mention that we have some awesome sponsors, Maplewood yes. Senior Living.
Greg Smith.
Networks. Go ahead. Yes, exactly. Great man.
Yes.
Network Support Company, Mount Kisco Truck and Auto, and a few others. So, again, if you're interested, sign up. The cost is $350 for an individual golfer and $1,400 for a foursome. And obviously, that's... Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you're not a great golfer or a tennis player, it's still really important to get involved, because you get access to a really incredible and diverse range of both silent auction and live auction prizes, right?
That's right. That's absolutely right. And if you don't want to play golf or play tennis, please, you can still come and be a part of that. And dinner, that's $75 for a ticket, and we'd love for you to come and listen and hear more about who we are and the services that we provide.
Great. And if people want to check this out on Sunday and call some friends or coworkers and make a quick turnaround to the event that's happening starting at 10:30 tomorrow, they can just go to abilitybeyond.org, the website. So, Carrie, before we let you go in the last couple minutes that we have, let's go back to our last visit together and just mm-hmm. remind folks that are listening how much positive feedback we heard from the employer that we visited at in Newtown, who was participating in this work vocational work program. And let folks know out there who are human resources managers or small company owners or liaisons who do recruiting, how they can benefit from getting involved with the programs and people who come to Ability Beyond.
Yeah, that is a great point. Last time we connected, we were at Tier 1, and we were focusing on a successful employment opportunity that we had there, a great relationship we've built with Tier 1, which continues today to be extremely successful. They, like many employers throughout our communities, have hired people with disabilities and have realized it's not only the right thing to do, but it's the smart thing to do. Obviously, we all know the facts. Hiring people with disabilities can improve your retention. It can decrease your turnover. Ability Beyond has lots and lots of skilled and talented individuals who are looking to gain employment opportunities and can provide a great assistance to your business. We have great relationships, but always are looking for more. If you are looking for any employment needs, please just check us out. If you go to our website, we do have a section on employment, and you can connect with us that way.
Yeah, if the business is not maybe ready to jump right in, it's still good to get some information ahead of time. Mm-hmm. And I guess it's also just in the last half a minute or so that we have, it's important to reinforce that this is not a situation where they sign a form and then a bus or a vehicle comes, drops people off, and mm-hmm. then they're on their own. The support and kind of interactive work that's done between the employer, the Ability Beyond on staff, and the clients is really spectacular.
Thank you. It is. It absolutely is. Yeah, we provide the right level of support to whatever the person is looking for to make sure that everybody is achieving success, the employer and the person.
Excellent. So we want folks to come out tomorrow to the Ridgewood Country Club for the golf and tennis tournament supporting Ability Beyond. Headquartered in Bethel, this nonprofit provides support for adults with disabilities across Connecticut. And we're so appreciative to visit again with Carrie O'Connell. She's the Director of Programs and Services at Ability Beyond. Carrie, good luck with the golf tournament and tennis tournament tomorrow and with all the great work you do, and we'll be talking to you again soon. Well, it's that time of year again when I get to visit with a long and dear friend. Anthony Gay is with the Department of Children and Families here in Connecticut. He's an adolescent social work supervisor. But a little over 7 years ago, he and a number of his colleagues came up with a way to reinforce the connection between children and fathers, and that has grown into an event that's coming up in Waterbury on September 28th. It's the 7th annual Dads Matter to Community Day. There's tons of things going on from 10 to 2 at the Waterbury Police Activity League building on Division Street in Waterbury. We've actually broadcast a segment of For the People from that location with Mayor Neil O'Leary a few years ago. Very easy to find and get to no matter where you're coming from around the state. And the best part is it's all free. But we didn't call up Anthony and take time away from his busy day to let me talk about it. So, Anthony, welcome to the program again, and thank you so much for not only reaching out to allow us to help you promote this, but really for the great work you and your colleagues do every day, literally 365 days a year. DCF is not a 9-to-5 operation.
No, not at all. And first and foremost, John, I appreciate you having me. I appreciate your listeners taking time out to listen to you and listen to me and this about this most important event that we're doing at the PAL in Waterbury, 60 Division Street. We've changed locations. We've typically hosted the event at Library Park. Unfortunately for us, the Library Park is under reconstruction.
Sure.
They're fixing up the park, so we had to move it over to the PAL.
Yeah, and they got tons of room, great gym, and really bails you guys out in the event of inclement weather.
Absolutely. So it's a rain or shine event. We have tons of activities going on, probably more so than years past. We typically do surveys and we ask for feedback, and people wanted us to do more activities and do things that are more interactive between fathers and children and anybody in the community. It's a community day to raise awareness for dads, but it's just not an event for dads. It's for everybody, the entire community, and we hope that people from all around the state come out and enjoy the festivities.
Yeah, I was going to say, given the statewide network of DCF offices that you interact with in your capacity as an adolescent social work supervisor, the word gets out, and in previous years, I mean, literally, I think you could track it on kind of like a bar chart, the growth in attendance and popularity of this event every year that kind of mirrors the addition of activities. So I guess one of the first things we want to clarify is people who may have attended in the past or known about this in previous years, at least the past couple of years, have known that there's a golf tournament that also supports this cause, which was, if I recall, in the past around or on the same weekend as the Dads Matter 2 event. But now that golf tournament, which is still generating underwriting for the initiative, is actually going to be happening in October, right?
Absolutely. It's going to be happening on October 12th. It's going to be at Crestbrook. We're looking for golfers. We're looking for teams. Anyone who's interested can reach out to me at anthony.gay@ct.gov. You're absolutely right. This event helps support the Dads Matter 2 Community Awareness Day. We do a Dads Matter 2 conference every year in August in conjunction with Central Connecticut State University, and we're actually creating a community calendar. So if there's any organization that any of your listeners are aware of that would like to partner with us to do smaller dad-based activities anywhere within our region, we're more than willing to partner with you and pull something together. The thought is, you know, we do the community day, all these folks come out, and there's a lot of energy. And then, you know, some folks have to wait a whole year to do some of these father-children sort of events that are free. So the thought is, this year we're looking to create a community calendar and have smaller events taking place throughout the Waterbury, Torrington, Danbury areas, and that are free, and things where fathers and children can, and father figures, foster fathers, psychological fathers, can create some memorable moments that will last forever. So if you know anyone that's interested, we are looking for partners.
Great. Just to clarify for the golf tournament, I mean, usually by the end of September, it starts to look and feel a little bit like fall, but this is at the golf club in Watertown, Connecticut, right?
Correct. It's
so you're right there in southern Litchfield County a few weeks later, when certainly the fall foliage is going to be peaking. It's really going to be like the quintessential fall event, and all the better because it's helping raise funds to sustain this whole new program of activities to promote fatherhood and the connection between kids and dads year-round, which is really, really awesome. Folks, if you're tuning in, we're talking with Anthony Gay. He's an adolescent social work supervisor at Connecticut DCF, the Department of Children and Families. And as you are hearing on Saturday, September 28th from 10 to 2 at the Waterbury Police Activity League, the Waterbury PAL on Division Street, they're having their absolutely free 7th annual Dads Matter 2 Community Day. So before we get into, take a little break and get into talking about some of the particulars that people can come and experience during this event on September 28th, Anthony, let's flash back to the extent that you recall how this all started coming together, because 7-8 years ago, just ahead of the very first Dads Matter 2 Community Day, your organization and you yourself started taking a real heightened interest in improving situations between children, and not only children and fathers, but as you said, foster fathers, adult caregivers, grandparents of children who may be charged with or who have taken on the responsibility of grandkids. It really is grown beyond a child dad thing.
Correct. So just to flash back and give people a sense of why we're doing what we're doing is, the one thing I can say is that Connecticut has historically sort of led the country in child protective services work. Most other states reach out to us because we sort of spearhead things, and we're sort of, you know, we're the pioneers of a lot of different initiatives. And we were already in the process of acknowledging that around 8 years ago that we needed to do better work around engaging fathers, and that was reinforced when the federal government came in and did what they call a child and family services review, where they randomly come in and select cases, so it's not something you could prepare for.
Sure.
And they do it all around the state. In fact, they do it all around the country. Mm-hmm. Because we receive federal dollars to support our work. Mm-hmm. And when they looked at our case practice, they said, hey, you know what? You guys do an excellent job of engaging kids, assessing their needs, ensuring that their needs are being met. And we do a pretty good job with moms, but we struggle with dads. Although our numbers were better than other states, we still were not meeting the expectations of the federal government. So they said, you have to do something to create or build your numbers up to show that you're doing better work in terms of engaging fathers. So we asked the federal government, what is it that we need to do to show, to improve? And their response was very, very simple. Everything you do for a mother, you should do for a father.
And I guess that's just because I guess while a lot of people probably assume a massive majority of single parent households are headed up by the mother or a female head of household, there are growing instances of the fathers who are really, if not stepping in and taking an equal role in the relationship between the parents and the children, there's a growing number of dads and men who are taking over as heads of household in a lot of the cases that I imagine a DCF is seeing.
Absolutely. And across the country, there has been an increase by a couple of 100,000 within the last 10 years of stay-at-home dads, where dads are taking on the full role of being the main provider and caregiver for their children. So, you know, there's some excitement around that. But even here locally in Connecticut, we see a number of single dads who have stepped up. And I shouldn't use the phrase stepped up. They're being dads. They're being parents. We've seen an increase of dads who are now in that role as single fathers or custodial fathers.
Sure.
And the weekend visits are happening with moms. And for us as an agency, we're just happy that, you know, mothers and fathers are getting along and people are learning to co-parent in a better way. And because at the end of the day, the outcomes are better for kids. And I always sort of throw these statistics around, and not to be statistical to the T, but I will share that all studies show that children do better in every single domain in their life, economically, less pregnancy, lower rates of incarceration or being arrested, and academically. When fathers are involved, actively involved, kids just do better. It's not to say that dads are better than moms, and by no stretch of the imagination am I saying that, you know, moms are not as important. Mothers, fathers are equally important and play very, very different but necessary roles in the life of children being successful. And that's all the department is trying to support. That's what the federal government is telling us we need to do. That's what I was charged to do 8 years ago, which is how this event and other community-based events and Dads Matter 2 and Fatherhood Engagement Leadership Teams developed all around the state of Connecticut in every DCF office.
Right. Well, with that potent point, we'll take a quick break, and then we're going to come back and review all of the amazing things that are going to be going on from 10 to 2 on September 28th at the Waterbury PAL facilities on Division Street. Rain or shine, it's the 7th annual Dads Matter 2 Community Day. Stick around and hear about all this fantastic free stuff going on at this event. We'll be back with Anthony Gay in just a moment. Do you love Connecticut? If you do, there are hundreds of nonprofit agencies, community groups, and grassroots organizations that would love to have your support. You can learn about many of them through Love CT. Just go to our radio station website, hit the event guide tab, and click on to Love CT to help the many causes supported by Connoisseur Media. This is Connoisseur Media's Director of Public Affairs, John Voquette. We'll be back to the award-winning For the People right after this news. Hey, if you know a little kid or you happen to be a big kid like me who loves to check out big trucks, then mark your calendar and join me as I help host Kids Fest 2019, benefiting the Human Services Council Children's Connection. It's happening from 10 to 3 on Saturday, October 26th at Taylor Farm Park on the Sound in Norwalk, and you can check out and climb around on more than 50 cool vehicles that dig, climb, honk, rescue, and fly at this Touch a Truck event that also features a bunch of family and children's activities, including a pre-Halloween costume parade, trucker treating for all, and admission is just $5. Need more info? Click on the Human Services Council website at hscct.org. Well, thanks for sticking with us. We are back and we are visiting once again with Anthony Gay. He's with Connecticut Department of Children and Families. He's an adolescent social work supervisor and a very, very good friend of ours here at Connoisseur Media and the award-winning For the People. We've been working with him virtually every year of the seven of this fantastic 7th annual Dads Matter 2 Community Day that's coming up in Waterbury on September 28th from 10 to 2. It's happening this year at the Waterbury Powell Building. Don't go to Library Park or you'll just see all the incredible construction that's going on there. Head on up. It's about a mile away on Division Street in Waterbury. It's the Waterbury Police Athletic League building. If you happen to get into Waterbury on the morning of September 28th for this event and you're find yourself wandering around, just head for the green in the center of town, find a police officer who's stationed there and just ask them to direct you up North Main Street to the Waterbury PAL building, and we'll hook you up with this incredible event. So Anthony, let's waste no more time. We've got about 6 or 8 more minutes. Let's tell the folks all of the stuff that's going on at this event, absolutely free.
Absolutely. Before I get into that, I would be remiss if I didn't thank our commissioner, Commissioner Durantes, and her executive team for the support to sustain this event and allow me and my team to do this. So in terms of what we have going on that day, as you mentioned earlier, you know, we'll start out with our opening ceremony, and then this year is going to be a little different. Because it's at the PAL, we figured we would do a lot of sort of athletic, sort of sports competitions for kids of all different age ranges. So we're going to have knockout competitions for basketball. We're going to do free throw competitions in different age brackets. We're going to do a three-point contest for different age brackets, and then we're going to do like a half-court shot competitions. Winners will get gift cards and trophies. We're going to do slime tables. We're going to do tie-dye T-shirts. People can get a Dads Matter 2 T-shirt and create their own tie-dye T-shirts. We're going to do three-legged races. We're going to do, we're going to do face painting. We're doing free haircuts. There's going to be music, entertainment. We're going to do football clinics. There's going to be so many different things that people can actually do, as I stated, that people should just have a great time across the board. And we're giving away tons and tons of great stuff. Great stuff. So we have NFL tickets that we're giving away.
Wow.
We have flat screen TVs that we're giving away. We met with the PAL yesterday. They're gifting us a few bikes. They're gifting us a few PAL memberships. I think they said 5 PAL memberships.
Wow.
Home Depot has gifted us some grills, and we've had other sponsors that have just been so willing to share with us to help our event. And everything, all of this stuff is free. So basically what you have to do is you come to the event. We're going to have a number of providers there, resource tables. You kind of come to the felt table. They'll give you this form. You go and you speak to some of the local providers from the community in case you may need some assistance in some area. We're going to have all types of providers there, and you will talk to various providers. They sign off on your sheet, and once you've spoken to 10 of the providers, you get a ticket. And once you get that ticket, you get to put the ticket in the raffle that you want for the prize that you want to win.
Excellent.
And so if you bring 5 people, you get five tickets because all five people can get a ticket.
Excellent.
Yes.
I was going to say, so there's two separate runs, a kids' fun run and a dad's dash, which I'm assuming are kind of, you know, the kids are for the kids, the dads are for the dads. But then there's this wonderful convergence of all of the young people and all the dads and stepdads and male household leaders and caregivers for this Father Mile walk as well. And I imagine because of the new location, that walk is on a new route.
Absolutely. So, we met with the PAL yesterday, and what we're going to do is we're going to do the walk early. So we're going to get there, do some opening ceremonies, and before the activities kick off, we're going to ask everyone who's present to take that walk with us. And we're going to walk and be escorted by police cars, and they're going to sort of escort us throughout around the area of the PAL.
Right.
So police will be in the front and the back, so it'll be safe. No one can drive in the streets, and we'll just kind of walk around. We'll do that mile walk together collectively, and we hope everybody will come out and enjoy it. For me, I'll just say that is the most memorable moment for me every year, to see dads and older brothers and father figures, grandfathers, foster fathers walking with their children and families and strollers and kids on people's necks. And I mean, it's just such a sight to see, and it just brings joy to my heart to see and know that we had an opportunity for people to just take a minute and take a walk and be recognized for the roles that they play in children's lives.
Very good. I just happened to click on the Facebook page for the event, and I'm seeing something about a Marcus Stallworth.
Yes.
Tell me about that.
So Marcus Stallworth is, our team is made up of internal folks and external folks.
Mm-hmm.
Marcus Stallworth is our external sort of lead for our felt, and he works directly with the community to help community providers sort of partner with us.
Oh, so he'll be there as well?
He will be there as well. And the one other thing that I wanted to add that I think is really cool that's new, we're doing a home run derby for children under the age of 13 and under. So if you know any baseball players out there who wants to win a trophy, come on out to that home run derby. That should be a great time.
Excellent. Also, it was wonderful. I am really privileged every year to be asked to be one of the multiple MCs for one of the largest Labor Day parades in New England in Newtown. And it was great to see the felt team in the parade. It was wonderful to be able to shout them out and to kind of get a tiny little sample of what folks are going to see at the 7th annual Dads Matter 2 Community Day, because that float and that unit in that parade was just surrounded with a range of kids and dads and DCF employees, and they were just so excited, and they got to be seen by thousands and thousands of people to kind of plant the seed about coming out. And I'm glad we're able to shout it out here across the state on our radio program as well. Folks, once again, we're chatting with Anthony Gay. He's with the Connecticut Department of Children and Families. He's an adolescent social work supervisor, but also one of the individuals at that agency who helped establish the annual Dads Matter 2 Community Day all these 7-plus years ago. Once again, the event is happening on September 28th from 10 to 2 this year at the Waterbury PAL building on Division Street, rain or shine. Music and entertainment, tons of giveaways, free games and activities, a children's fun zone, the Dad's Dash, the Kids Fun Run, and the Father Mile Walk all happening. As you heard, the Home Run Derby for kids 13 and under. Bring the kids out, get free haircuts. There'll be food available, as well as community providers and vendors. Lots of folks to meet and lots of ways to get more involved in your community, with your family, and with your kid, especially if you're a dad or a father figure who's coming out. Anthony, once again, you have our great tribute and appreciation for this work that you're doing, and we are excited to hear about all the other events throughout the year that you're planning to keep dads and kids and male household leaders engaged with young people. So thank you so much for being part of the show once again this year, and good luck with the event. All right. Well, we're going to wrap up talking about another key event that's coming up here in Connecticut that we have the opportunity to promote almost every year since they've started doing it. I'm talking about UConn's Native Plants and Pollinators Conference, which is an exciting day of presentations featuring current science-based research and information on supporting pollinators in managed landscapes. It's coming up at the Student Union Ballroom on the campus of UConn in Storrs on October 3rd, and it's a full day, so pencil yourself in if you're interested. It kicks off about 8:45 and goes into the 3 o'clock hour, and this is an event that's really, really important, whether you're a grower or a green industry professional, a landscape service provider, landscape architect, designer, or if you are a volunteer or an elected town commission member that gets involved in plants and pollinators, municipal employees, parks and rec, or a school district employee, as well as homeowners. Lots to talk about with Dr. Jessica Lubell. She is with the UConn Department of Plant Science and Landscape Architecture. And it's a really exciting time, as we were talking before we went on the air this morning, for Dr. Lubell, because literally, Jessica, every couple of weeks, it's like a tote board when it comes to the incredible advancements that Connecticut is enjoying in this very short time that it's been since it was legally able to let farmers grow hemp here. And that is an area that you are concentrating on, right?
Yes. So in addition to native plants for pollinators, I've also been conducting research on hemp. And it has been, you know, a flurry of activity and interest from every level of academia and every level of, you know, the green industry.
Yeah. And Connecticut's political leadership kind of jumped right on to support this initiative. It was just late last year, when things started coming together. And in the short time since farmers have been able to dedicate some or all of their crop to hemp growing, the number of farms and farmers that have signed on to do this has just been, as we said earlier, growing out of control.
Yeah, that they're regulating the growers well, but there is a lot of interest, and I think they're really hopeful that this will be a new kind of like economic opportunity for farmers at many different levels, from field growing to greenhouse and controlled environment also.
Excellent. Well, while I don't necessarily see a session topic on it for this year's Native Plants and Pollinators Conference, I imagine it will certainly be a subject of conversation among attendees and presenters, kind of offline, which is really exciting. But let's flip the switch here and start kind of orienting people toward October 3rd and why this Native Plants and Pollinators Conference is so all-inclusive and welcoming to, as we heard earlier in the introduction, a raft of different people, from just casual homeowners that want to learn more or do more gardening sustainably here in Connecticut, or all the way up to a bunch of industry professionals.
Yeah, so the lineup is really suited to a lot of people. What I tried to do with the conference is to make as much kind of novel research-based information as possible. So we have scientists who are doing breeding and who have studied pollinator visitation on native plants, and also speakers who are doing novel things in the garden to develop monarch way stations and different ways that the homeowner can really get involved in making a difference to pollinator health.
And one of the reasons, I guess, it's important to mention why, you know, we say it's coming up on October 3rd and here we are in mid-September. People are like, okay, I'll get to that. But they really shouldn't put off the opportunity to get their advance tickets because if my memory serves me, this event is sold out with a waiting list virtually every year.
Yes, the last time we ran it, we sold out about 3 weeks in advance of the conference. So we're about 2 weeks out, and we do have seats available still. Mm-hmm. But I think it's a really novel event because you'll get, you know, the unique information on how native plants are brought to market, the challenges in developing native plants to support pollinators, and general education on how to use native plants in the landscape to serve pollinators well, and also provide a function in your landscape, you know, to fill that foundation spot and to, you know, preserve water in the soil, et cetera.
Yeah, and while regular visitors will certainly get their money's worth, and we're going to tell them all about why for their $60 admission, it's wonderful to see that you've taken that admission and knocked almost 60% off of it for students with a valid school ID who want to attend. Tell us a little bit about why it's a great opportunity for students to mix with other attendees as well as the presenters at an event like this.
I think for students, it could be a great networking opportunity because you'll have people there from all levels of the green industry, people who are doing design build, people who are working in wholesale production and propagation. And the industry needs people who are interested in plants and who want to work with plants. And so there could be a lot of recruitment opportunities. And also, if they're interested in more of the scientific areas, you'll see in the presentations how a researcher goes from hiking in the woods to find germplasm to rescuing embryos from seeds in the laboratory to evaluating plants in a garden plot to bring new cultivars to market. Okay. So I think they could learn a lot from science to, you know, economics.
And I see for professionals, there's a with included in admission is a credits toward pesticide recertification, right?
Yeah, so I think most all of the talks are going to mention pollinators and pollinator safety. So there's that component, and using native plants is a way to promote pollinator health. So we can justify, you know, pesticide credits and towards their licenses. Yeah.
Excellent. Well, pardon me. You're bringing in authorities from Kentucky, Minnesota, Vermont, as well as colleagues of your own from the University of Connecticut. You're going to be doing a session on nativars, pollinators, and the nursery industry. Tell us a little bit about what you have in store for your session.
So for the past 10 years, I've been researching native plants, particularly native shrubs, and I've been trying to develop new native shrub plants for the nursery industry. I've looked at landscape use and propagation and production, and my most recent work has looked at how selections of native shrubs or cultivars support pollinators and whether they support them as well as the straight species, which is in native plant circles kind of a hot topic. So I hope with my research and the research of some other people, one of which is also speaking, Annie White, we can maybe come to some conclusions on this hot topic for people in the industry, consumers, to choose their plants wisely or maybe not be so worried.
Very good. And your colleague, Dr. Mark Brand, is doing a presentation on Aronia up close, built-in complexity and potential is the title of his session. But I can't wait till October to learn what is Aronia.
Yes. So Aronia is a wonderful native shrub. You can find it in Connecticut. And its fruits are high in antioxidants. And he's working with this plant not only for its fruit potential, but also as an ornamental. It has multi-season interest, and he's done a lot of breeding with this genus.
You have Dr. Annie White coming in from Burlington, Vermont. Tell us a little bit about what she's going to be talking about in relation to pollinators.
Dr. White did some really novel research at the University of Vermont looking at native herbaceous perennials and their cultivars and pollinator visitation. and she's going to report on her research at the meeting.
And then you also have Heather Holm, who is coming in from Minnetonka, Minnesota, a long ride for an important talk on asters and goldenrods. What's that about?
Right. So I think it's perfect for the time of year because these are the plants that are still blooming to support pollinators in October and maybe into November. And she's a wonderful speaker and she's an author. So I think that's going to be a real treat for attendees to just sit back and look at her beautiful slides and hear her talk about these plants.
Right. And perhaps of equal importance is something that we really, really have gotten a lot of traction on the award-winning For the People here on this program, talking over the past few years from what has started as that initial and scary mass die-off of bees and pollinators going back now 7-8 years. But now has morphed into really, really getting all community members involved, large and small, schools and parks and whole entire communities. And this is going to kind of key in on one of the most gorgeous aspects of pollinator protection and sustainability. You're bringing in Adam Baker from the University of Kentucky to talk about monarch butterflies. What will we learn from that workshop?
I'm really excited to have Adam come. He's very well recommended by his advisor. He's so enthusiastic to give this talk as well. And I think that's exactly what it's going to be about, how we can all do our part to make a difference. You know, we are a very populated nation, and as we've populated the land, we've reduced the wildlife. And so we can build it back. We can connect it, if you will, using monarch way stations and hopefully kind of pay back to the pollinators, if you will.
So back in the day when kind of monarchs ruled the world and they were everywhere, it was a time when people just had prolific gardens that happened to line up with their migration route. Now it really is taking organizations like yours and events like this to help people learn how they can kind of rebuild that tradition of naturally sustaining a pollinator pathway, particularly for the monarch butterflies, right?
Yeah, and I think that this talk will really give them kind of a step-by-step how-to guide at where they can, you know, with even the smallest amount of space can make a difference or put some plants in and make it almost like a living laboratory.
Fantastic. Well, as you're hearing, whether you are a green industry professional, a professional grower, or an amateur grower, a landscape service provider, or landscape architect or designer, if you work with one of the many types of municipal commissions that are engaged with the land, or a municipality, town employee, a school district person, or even homeowners, the Yukon Native Plants and Pollinators Conference wants you on October 3rd, 8:45 to 3:30 up at the Student Union Ballroom. Don't wait to try to get tickets. They will be sold out by October 3rd. You can go to it's s.yukon.edu/pollinators2019 to register. Dr. Lou Bell, thank you so much for your time this morning, and we'll see you on October 3rd at the Yukon Native Plants and Pollinators Conference. Thanks for being with us. You've been listening to our award-winning public affairs program, For the People. The opinions expressed on this broadcast represent those of our guests and host. If you have a suggestion for an issue, a guest, or a PSA relevant to the audience and community served by our radio station, you must make a request for consideration in writing to me via email at john.voquette@connoisseurct.com. We do not accept pitches or requests for coverage by phone.
Remember, no part of this program may be copied, disseminated, or rebroadcast. Our public file detailing the many critical community and state issues addressed on For the People can be reviewed upon request during normal business hours at 440 Wheeler's Farms Road in Milford or on our station website. Our theme music is by Rick Miller and Scott's, with original music by Noel Viette. I'm Director of Public Affairs, John Voquette. Join us again this time next week for more conversation and information on the award-winning For the People. And don't forget, you can listen to this and other For the People podcasts anytime on iTunes or under the podcast tab on our station's website. Until this time next week, thanks for listening.